This morning I'd like to share with you, God loves us. That's really what I wanted to share. Go to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 4. You're going to, the same evil that's been going all around the world is, still going all around the world. The same chaos, the same hatred, the same everything. It just keeps moving all around the world. It's been doing that forever. And the only blessing, the only peace that is ever going to be made known to us in this life is really about what God tells us in His Word. And really the first thing that you want to really grab a hold of and never allow to leave your heart is that God loves you. Because everything else will tell you just the opposite. Everything else. You tell yourself the opposite. Oh, he can't love me that much. So we either believe the truth of his word or we believe the lies that are presented to us. That is our choice by faith. He makes things known. And if we trust him, that means we have faith in those things that he says. And if we choose to grab a hold of something else and think something else and stay with something else other than what he says, then we have chose to believe a lie and we live subpar. We live in a place we don't need to live in. It's like a bad neighborhood. You don't need to live in that neighborhood. But you live in it because you choose to. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins." This is, we're talking about the Creator of the heavens and the earth sent his Son to save us, to pay the price that we could not possibly pay for ourselves. He doesn't just say, "I love you." He proved it by sending his Son, by doing what was necessary to save us. Words are cheap unless they're backed up with something, right? Well, God backed it up with the life of his boy, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew. Well, before you go to Matthew, go to verse 19. Here in chapter 4, 1 John, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." Never turn that around. I'm loving God, so he loves me. You love him because he first loved you. He's the one that moved first. You and I didn't even have a clue that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We didn't even have a clue that things were really, really bad. We just thought, this is the way it was. You meet people all the time think, this is just the way it is. They believe a lie. They need to hear Christ is the Lord. They need to hear God loves them. Go to Matthew 22. Verse 36. One of the Pharisees came up to Jesus and asked him this question. He says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Why do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because he first loved us. He loved us first. He gave the promises. He gave his son. He did all the work. He was the one who wants you and me. He wants us. You know how much you want your own, you know, your own family around you? You want to be loved. You want to be included. You want, I mean, do you ever notice that that's a major need in your life? I don't care who you are. I don't care how reclusive you are. I don't care how screwed up things get. That's what we want. We want to be loved. Some people want to be loved so badly that they'll stay in a bad relationship. And, you know, I'm not trying to turn the teaching, but you understand that. There are people who literally are in terrible relationships. They get beaten by their husbands. And they stay there because I got no place else to go. You see what I mean? Stuff like that. I remember Mary's home was a terrible place to grow up in. My home was not so hot. You know, my father was the, my mom was, she was great for a long time. Didn't end up well. But that was my family. There was no place else to go. You know, you can pick your friends, you can't pick your family, right? Well, you're my family. We chose to be in this family. We chose this because God loved us. Then, because he has loved us, 1 John talks about, and here it talks about, we love one another. But it all starts because he loved us. He wanted us. He cared for us. He planned everything else out so that he could have us. That is something that you just have to wrap your mind around. You have to think about it. If you don't think about it, it slips away. We have the Father of the universe, the best one that ever was. No, not even close, who hears your every word, who hears your every prayer, who reproves you and turns you around when you're off base, who guides you to great things. And if you give him a chance, he'll work within you and you'll do great things. I mean, really great things. I was thinking about Michael Surgeon when he came in and read that verse to him and prayed for him. The man put his body together, helped put his body together a couple of days before. But what he really did was a great thing in putting his heart together and his spirit at the end. You can't do that with a knife. You can't do that with a pill. You can do it when God's working within you. You can change a life. And you do it because God loves that person. See, it's not because you're so nice that you extended yourself to them. If you allow God to work within you, because you know God loves you. And then he wants this one to be loved, and he works within you to love them. It's really God that's loving them. It's really God that ministered to my son. But he had a willing child that was ready to do it. You know, if a believer blesses you, I mean, really blesses you, does something good, really, that ministers to your heart, this is God working in them. Nobody's this smart. I'm not smart enough to know that my wife didn't bring a cat in the house. Yeah, if you want to get silly about it. Yeah, because I had that dream. She did. Woke up and realized she didn't have a cat. I was just dreaming. We are just not that. We are just not that great. So, when you get ministered to, when somebody really touches your life, when the person who witnessed to you and really opened your eyes and it would, yeah, they were loving enough to do it. But it was God working within them to willing to do of his good pleasure. And then it's God that opens the heart to hear. You've experienced God loving you. First Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity, this love of God. And it's out of a pure heart. And it's of a good conscience, good behavior, and a faith unfeigned, unbridled faith. This is, again, read that verse, the end of the commandment. The way I would say it today is the bottom line is this. The bottom line is this. Charity, which is that word agape, which means the love of God, spiritual love. All right? And it's out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. And in Timothy, the believers had turned away from it. You know what? A lot of you can turn away from this, but you won't if you keep it straight and you keep thinking about it. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is such a great book, and sometime this year I want to teach it, you know, like I did up in Rhode Island. I want to teach it here. You know, I got to teach it a couple of times before I publish it, so you get to hear me practice. At any rate. It says, blessed be, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all. How many? All. How many is all? All. Spiritual. So what kind of blessings are these? The ones we're talking about in Ephesians are all spiritual ones. We're not talking about carnal. We're not talking about daily life. Necessarily. We're not talking about getting paid. We're not talking about houses and, you know, that kind of stuff. That's not what he's going to be dealing with in Ephesians. He's going to be dealing with the spiritual ones. There's other places in the Bible for the rest of this stuff. This book's talking about the spiritual ones. And where are they? They're in the spiritual realm. Heavenly places. The word places is in italics. King James, I mean, it's not even there. I just put it there for understanding. It's in the heavenly realm. It's in the heavenly realm. And it's in Christ. It's what Christ has done, has given us all these blessings. What God has done through Christ has given us all spiritual blessings. In the spiritual realm. And then he's going to tell us about the mystery, about what he wanted to do, about what he accomplished for us, what he did. And then he asks us to live to his praise and to his glory. But it's all about what he wanted to do for his own children. It says, according as he, God, has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Everybody likes the chosen part, but nobody wants to respond with the emphasis on our end of the deal, which is to walk holy and without blame before him. That's what he's always wanted. He's a holy God. He wants a holy people. How do you love God? How do you respond to the love that he's done? He's given his son. He's poured out all the blessings. He's made all this known. You choose to walk holy. What does that mean? It's not a weird word. It just means according to his word. That's what it means to live holy. You choose to do it his way. And you do it without blame. It doesn't say without fault. It says without blame. We all fall down, right? The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. And then it says, in love having predestined us unto the adoption of children. God, for those who choose to be faithful in Christ, for those who choose to accept and have faith in these blessings, it's going to be in this book. He has predestined those people, because you got to believe. If you don't believe, you don't get nothing. I told you that, but I'm not teaching that today. You choose to believe, you get the blessings that he has provided to us in Christ. And he places you, he's predestined you to the adoption of children. And that is the correct word, adoption. Okay. Remember, for many years, people used to think of the word seed like in, you know, you're going to have two more grandchildren all at once. That's great. Twins are coming. That seed, the birth of a human child, mom and dad get together, that seed, okay? Genetics, all the... We ain't that kind of seed. That kind of analogy shouldn't be used for us in the scriptures. We are placed as sons. You were adopted, placed. And to tell you the truth, in case you didn't know it, that means that he said, I want that one. Liz don't know what she's getting. She's gotten two more kids coming, but she don't know who they are. She don't know what, you know, what sex they are yet. She don't know nothing. She just got a daughter who's going to have two more babies. I didn't know what the heck we were going to have when we had our kids. It showed up. One of them was kind of planned. The other one wasn't. Both great blessings, but again, adoption, He chose you. He selected you because you believed. You believed his word. I want that one. You placed, and when it says here placed as a son, adopted, talking about fully, with all the rights and privileges. That's what this adoption is talking about. You weren't adopted second class because you were Gentile compared to the Jews. Going to say that later on, chapter 3. You were completely with all rights and privileges. And that's remarkable in the Bible. Because in the scriptures, for almost the whole bunch of this, it was the firstborn male was the only one with the rights and the privileges. And he had to be free, by the way. Firstborn male got everything. Now, no more. These spiritual blessings, all of them, are for every single child. This is like way over the top from anything that you've read in the first 5,000 years of the Bible. What Christ has done. He has placed you as an adopted child with all the rights and privileges, and he has put the Spirit into your heart. It's just, you tell me he don't love you? I mean, think about that. Which one of Abraham's kids do you know about? He had six sons, right? Six sons. Which one do you know? Firstborn. Yeah, that was a mistake. That was Sarah's idea. That gave us all the trouble we got today. But all the ones that the blessings came upon were who? All the blessings, and that's the context, not just, you know, the inheritance. Hey, throw out the bond kid. And that's what they did, throw him out, right? And Isaac was the only one, firstborn male. And all the blessings went through him. And then you had his kids. And God knew that the firstborn of Isaac wasn't going to do so good, so you know what? He gave the revelation, worked it out, had the guy who's half blind. I want you to bless the right kid. You see this all through the Bible. You see it all through the Bible. The king, who gets the kingdom? The son. The first one. Now, it's every one of us. The women, the old, the young, all those that believed are placed as sons with all the rights and all the privileges. What a blessing. In chapter 2, again, showing us that God has loved us. This is probably one of the greatest sections of the Bible to read for that. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our behavior in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath. We were the children of the devil. You want to talk about being children. And that wasn't seed either. See, whoever is the greatest influence in your life is your father. In Scripture, God is the greatest. He's your father. You reject him, you can get yourself another father. Doesn't change that he loves you. Just like, you know, the prodigal son. He took off. Finally came to him. But the father was always looking for him. The kid had to come back. But here, even though this was our terrible, dead trespasses, sins, the spirit of the world was working in us. We were the children of the wrath to come. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us even when we were that way. How much more does he love you now, today? You're trying. Even on a bad day, you feel bad. When you stop feeling bad, then you really got things to worry about. But you feel bad, all right? You're trying. How much more would he love a child? How much, I mean, just common sense. Somebody's given forth an effort. For his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together in Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in again, the spiritual realm in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches, look at those words, the riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He has got things planned for us I can't quite comprehend in the coming kingdom and in eternity. But it's going to be there. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Paul is saying, you know, he's gotten this great revelation. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable, untrackable, the manifold. I mean, how big could you say it? It's just beyond understanding. What does it say in yours? Unfathomable. It's unfathomable what I've just said to you today. It's beyond comprehension that this God who created all things could love us that much. It's beyond my comprehension. Let alone plan all this out. I mean, we're talking about the season we're living in. I mean, he planned out the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Planned out not only his birth, the lineage. Everything had to be just exactly right. Made all that known to people so that they would know, hey, don't get fooled. This is the one. Had men devote their entire lives and write down the scriptures to make it known to you and me. He made this known to you. Nobody believed Isaiah when Isaiah said it and when Isaiah wrote it, by the way. Not a blessed person believed Jeremiah. Nobody believed Ezekiel. Why did they write those things down? For you and me. They ministered to us. You've been ministered to by the prophets. If you choose to believe the words, you get the same choice the people back then had. You are loved. And Paul's making this known. He says, listen, I'm not worthy of this. And he's dead right. He killed people. He killed Christians. He threw them in jail. He voted to kill Stephen off. There's no way his credentials make him the pontiff. You know what I mean? No way. God made him the leader of the church. God made him what he is. In spite of him. And his guts. I mean, we do have to have the guts, and we do have to have that response. His love and dedication and his tenacity as a man with the zeal that he had in being wrong, he used in being right for God. And all of that ministers to who? Still to us. That's why none of these words fall to the ground. They've been out there for centuries. He says, unto me, whom less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship in the King James. It's the administration. To make all men see what is the stewardship of this house, of this gospel, of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things. And in King James, by Jesus Christ, is not there. It's not in the Greek. God created all things. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places, he might make known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He wanted this gospel known. He wanted these spiritual truths known, these great blessings known. And he wanted them manifested to you and to the rest of the heavens. He is having a good time making this known here. Paul's in jail. He ain't having a good time. But as he's writing it, as it's revealed to him, he's having a blast. I don't care what jail he's in. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Again, I want to show you that truth. Verse 1, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, and that word child is the word infant, as long as he is immature, an infant, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. A child who is, let's say, the next king, has got no authority at all, contrary to the movies. He's put under governors. He's put under tutors. He's a kid. He ain't king. He might be the heir to the throne, but he don't have nothing. He's got to listen to his tutors. He's got to listen to his governors, people in charge of him. And he might be the heir, but he's got no standing. Nothing. Until the time appointed of the Father. Now remember that. That one's big. Because when the Father says, okay, this is over, guess what? Now he's in charge. Now I am what I am. And none of these other people have any authority whatsoever over him. None. And then just the decision of the Father, right? The time. It's time. Even so we, when we were children, okay, we were in bondage unto the elements of the world. We were slaves to the world, to its, you know, what do we call it? Dwayne did it the other, street stupid, okay? We were children of the world. We were in bondage to the world. But when the fullness of time was come, remember the time of the Father? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, what? The adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has set forth his Spirit into the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you are no more servant, but a son, full standing, adopted. And if a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. Everything Christ is going to receive, you're going to receive. You're in Romans, it says you're a joint heir. Are these gifts, are these blessings from a God who doesn't care about you and doesn't love you? I mean, do you feel like you've been slighted in some way? Only if you believe lies. Well, God's blessed me more than he's blessed them. You know, like the two prodigal children. How come you're blessing him? I've been with you all along. You got believers do that with one another. Oh, he gets to do that. I want to get to do that too. You know, like it's a competition. I believe a lie because they don't believe they're fully placed. That they're just as loved. That they're just as much an heir. But everybody's got a little different job. Everybody doesn't do the same thing on the same day. Do you follow me? And that's what the devil does. Every one of us has been adopted, placed as a son. And the Father said, it's time. He sent his Son. He put his Spirit into your heart, and you are fully mature as far as God is concerned. All you got to do is choose to walk by it.